From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. This week's Amazon Prime Day was declared a whopping success for the online retail giant, surpassing sales from Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and even previous Prime Day sales. The sales came in so thick and fast that they shut down the company's website for a time. In the same week, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos was declared the richest man in history and is now worth an obscene $150 billion. Meanwhile, as CEO Bezos and his fellow corporate executives are celebrating their riches, on the other side of the world, Amazon workers in Europe were on strike, calling attention to the low wages and poor working conditions that they have to suffer through. My guest is Claire Brown, a staff writer for the New Food Economy, focusing on food policy and the environment. Her reporting has won awards from the Newswomen's Club of New York and the New York Press Club. And she last joined us to talk about Amazon workers depending on food stamps. Welcome back to the program, Claire.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, of course, it's not just that Amazon workers in Europe are unhappy. Amazon workers, it seems, all over the world, at least those who are not working in the corporate headquarters, are quite unhappy. First, let's talk about the fact that the Prime Day sales were so huge for Amazon that this was basically a windfall for this corporation, right?
Absolutely, yes. I think that the sales figures were large, and as you mentioned, it was enough to shut down their website for a time there.
So what are the concerns of European workers, and why did they pick Prime Day to protest?
Well, I think they picked Prime Day because it's a time that Amazon is in the spotlight. It's very easy to generate publicity when something's already in the news, and B, disrupting activities at a place like Amazon is going to have more impact when sales volumes are really high. If you have striking workers on the day when you have the most sales out of the year, except for maybe right around Christmas, then you're going to have a really big problem on your hands.
So from what we saw, Germany, Spain, and Poland were the three countries where Amazon workers went on strike. They walked out. I believe the workers in each country had a slightly different sort of approach, but they coordinated so that each country's strike fell on a different day, and it was spread out across 3 days. As far as you can understand, what are their concerns? Because European workers have higher standards for labor rights than American workers, unfortunately for us.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's very true. But, you know, they were protesting a lot of the things that workers here complain about. They were protesting low wages, first and foremost. They were protesting the degree to which they're micromanaged at work. So I don't know if you're familiar, but Amazon times employees' productivity. You know, if you're a picker, you're responsible to pick X number of items per minute. And if you don't do that, your manager will show up and tell you that you're underperforming, and you get what's equivalent to like a demerit. Timed bathroom breaks are something we've heard a lot about. Bathrooms are located really far from where people are often working, and so a 15-minute bathroom break may not even be long enough to walk to the bathroom. So, you know, it's things like this that are kind of a worldwide concern that they really took this day as an opportunity to bring attention to.
What you're describing sound like sweatshop conditions.
A lot of people have compared it to that. I've been talking to employees recently who say it's just too difficult. They say that the company burns people out, and because a lot of these fulfillment centers are in areas with high unemployment, they're able to refill that workforce very easily.
Now, Spain's Amazon workers seemed to be the most militant and most committed to striking this week. Workers at a San Fernando fulfillment facility outside the city of Madrid held a 3-day strike right around Prime Day, which I'm assuming that Prime Day was an international thing, and that might have hurt Amazon sales in Spain. But they they are advocating and agitating for a more favorable contract after their union contract expired. Are you aware of how unionized Amazon workers are around the world? Here in the U.S., Amazon workers are not in a union.
Correct. Yeah, they're not unionized at all here in the U.S. And actually, a lot of them aren't even employed directly by Amazon. In this country, it actually uses a lot of temp agencies to staff its workers, which provides even less job security. So I know there have been organizing efforts here, but as far as I'm aware, none of the individual fulfillment centers have been able to get a genuine unionization push off the ground.
And yet in Europe, there are unions that represent Amazon workers. The Spanish workers who walked off the strike were struck quite violently by police. It's interesting, on an unrelated issue, but one related to Spain. We saw last December with the vote on the Catalan independence referendum. After that, there were violent crackdowns by police against pro-independence activists. And we saw a little glimpse of that again this week against Amazon workers in Spain, where there were these terrible videos that emerged of police beating protesters with batons and, shoving them, mass arrests as well that took place. We didn't hear very much about this coverage, Claire, in the breathless admiration for Jeff Bezos as he was declared the world's richest man, did we?
We didn't. I have to say, I was really kind of surprised by the mainstream media coverage of Prime Day. Places like, everyone from the New York Times to New York Magazine. I'm revealing my New York bias here. But, these mainstream publications were publishing stories that were saying, here are the top 10 things to buy on Prime Day. We didn't see a whole lot of critical coverage of the event.
Right. In fact, I think you're right. Incredible media coverage generated about all of the Prime Day phenomena. And that day, I understand, was even extended. And I'm not sure, as far as you can tell, were the work stoppages, and in Poland, there was a work to rule day. Did any of the workers in Europe's actions have an impact on Amazon's sales?
So as far as I can tell, it was a very successful Prime Day. Now, I don't think we'll ever get data from the company about sales in individual countries. It's very secretive about a lot of its information. And even further than that, the company is claiming that the strikes didn't even cause interruptions in service. So as far as they're concerned, even with people striking in Poland, they're still somehow going to be able to get two-day delivery to consumers in that region.
Are the concerns of Amazon's European workers very similar to those of U.S. workers? I mean, given that there are these sort of different labor standards and European workers are used to higher standards, and I'm wondering if Amazon treats its American workers worse with fewer, pushbacks from workers than it does in Europe.
Well, it's very, very difficult to know. I've never worked in an Amazon warehouse, but I can say that there are a lot of similar concerns among the two countries. I mean, the timed bathroom breaks, the breakneck speed at which people are expected to operate. I think both of those concerns that we saw from the European workers are definitely echoed in the United States. And, it's a culture of high pressure and high performance expectations, and it's a very, very physically taxing job. So, I don't think there are a lot of accommodations for people who are older or who are, needing to move a little bit more slowly.
There was a report in The Verge that I want to quote from that was really shocking. British journalist James Bloodworth went undercover as an Amazon worker for his book called Hired, 6 months Undercover in Low-Wage Britain. So this was in Britain that he went undercover. And he found warehouse workers were peeing into bottles to avoid missing their time targets. Then there was a study released in April that found nearly 3 out of every 4 Amazon warehouse workers avoided using the restroom to meet quotas, while more than half of all surveyed workers reported mental health issues since taking the job. About 80% of participants said that they would not apply for a job at Amazon again. Claire, this might be consistent with what you found too, right? When we had you on in April about how Amazon workers are relying on food stamps.
Yeah, and I've been working on some follow-up reporting since then. So I've been talking to lots of folks who work at Amazon, and they say similar things. You know, they're promised X, Y, and Z, high wages, you know, low physical output, and then they feel sort of baited and switched when they take the job. And, you know, a lot of people do say that they wish they had not taken the job, particularly people who wind up injured or sore. You know, a lot of them underestimate the physical taxation of a job like Amazon.
And of course, all of this, being highlighted by the striking European workers at the same time as Jeff Bezos is declared the richest person, not just in the world, but in history. Claire, this man is not sure, you know, the biggest problem he faces right now is where to donate some of his money to. And he's taking suggestions from people on social media about which philanthropic causes he should donate to. Would be interesting to see if he'd be interested in donating to a fund for the well-being of his own workers. What do you make of this news that he is the richest man in history?
I mean, it's a staggering number, right? We reported, In the course of my reporting, they released a statistic that the median employee is making just over $20,000 a year. And I think his compensation package last year was $1.68 billion. So he's making about 60,000 times his average workers, or at least that's what happened in 2017. For context, the average CEO in the U.S. makes something like 150 times their worker. So it's a pretty big, or maybe it's 200 times their worker. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's a pretty big discrepancy in compensation, and it's not a very big stretch to draw a direct line between CEO compensation and median worker compensation.
Right. I mean, so does it seem clear that the reason why Bezos is so mind-bogglingly rich is because he is fleecing his workers? I mean, does it have to be that CEOs can only get rich when they are and this rich when they are squeezing every drop of blood out of their workers?
Well, first of all, I think that the number we calculate for net worth is a little bit more complicated than that, because it's based on the worth of the company at any given day. But, you know, Amazon has really been able to thrive on maximizing efficiency. And that means that the people it depends on are expected to work fast and work long hours. There's a lot of mandatory overtime that these people do, and for very low wages. And so he's sort of worked out this human efficiency equation that is allowing a company that, you know, it kind of doesn't make sense. Two-day shipping for free on really cheap goods, somewhere along the economic line, somebody's going to lose out. And we're starting to see more and more that it's the people who are packing and shipping those items that are struggling.
And recently, Amazon fought back successfully a Seattle head tax. And the city of Seattle was trying to put forward a head tax. So for every employee of Amazon, there would be a tax that the company would have to pay the city to deal with the city's very real housing and homelessness crisis that is fueled by Amazon. And the company, you know, would have essentially had to pay pocket change. That tax would have been pocket change, and they beat it back so fiercely, so aggressively, and they ended up changing that vote and having the city council re-voting and losing that that tiny, tiny gain. We had actually interviewed the city council member, Sharma Sawant, who had been one of the leaders of that fight when that vote first actually happened, and there was the sense that there was a victory. There was a town hall earlier this week, Claire, that Senator Bernie Sanders held, a major town hall called CEOs versus Workers, where Amazon workers spoke alongside the workers of Disney and McDonald's, Walmart, and American Airlines. In fact, later in our show, we're going to be playing a clip from that town hall. How important is it to use the language that Sanders used, CEOs versus workers?
So we should speak to that.
I mean, I think it's a really interesting way of positioning it, right? Like we have seen inequality in the U.S. to sort of rise and rise and rise. And I think his original intention for that town hall was to actually have the CEOs come on and speak to their workers directly. And of course, none of the CEOs showed up. But
yeah, he had some empty seats on the stage instead to highlight their absence.
Yeah, I mean, I think corporate accountability is something that I think we often give our CEOs a free pass in this country. And, you know, Amazon has been sort of a tech darling for a very, very, very long time, right? Bezos is more in the class of Mark Zuckerberg than we associate him with sort of the Walmart group of people. And we haven't really thought of him as being a major, major employer until very recently because Amazon has grown so fast. So I think this problem of Amazon workers it is just starting to heat up. And I think we'll see more and more of this as, you know, progressives start to take up the issue in the midterms and perhaps even in 2020.
Oh, I was just going to ask you that. This, you would think that this issue of how little workers earn, how much they struggle versus these unbelievable riches being reaped by CEOs would be a campaign issue, would be a midterm election issue. And some members of Congress certainly do raise it, like Senator Sanders, but nearly not enough, right? I mean, there was a report recently about the Federal Reserve Chairman pointed out that inflation in the country is basically erasing any wage gains being made by workers. And of course, all of the gains from the tax reform bill that the Republicans passed, the mass majority of them have gone to the richest Americans. And yet, you know, we hear scapegoating of immigrants, we hear about gun rights, we hear about abortion, we hear about everything but how workers in the country and across the world are struggling. It's just not a campaign issue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the last Democratic election, we saw a $15 minimum wage come up over and over again.
That's
right.
We've
seen a lot of, and you know, we've seen universal federal jobs, but what we haven't really seen, which I think is interesting, that Senator Sanders is doing is taking that issue and positioning it as workers versus CEOs, like you pointed out. It's CEOs as villains in a way that we have not really seen in mainstream politics, and I'll be very curious to see if that picks up in the mainstream. I can understand why politicians would be hesitant to position it in that way, but Senator Sanders seems to be laying the track for doing exactly that.
I'm glad you used that term shaming because, you know, this country hasn't seen class warfare from the bottom for a very long time. We are in the throes of a massive class war of the rich against the rest of us. That's kind of an unspoken war and an unarticulated war. With the shaming of CEOs, CEOs versus workers, as the town hall was labeled, I think it's possible that some of that might get some traction. Finally, I'm wondering, Claire, whether there are any, as far as you can tell, any efforts legislatively from those who are already members of Congress to curtail the power of Amazon. This is a company that's so huge. It goes beyond Walmart, right? There's questions about how much taxes Amazon pays and where it's going to have its new headquarters and the gentrification that it generates everywhere it goes. Is anybody holding Amazon accountable?
I mean, we've certainly heard murmurings, right? We've heard, you know, the most obvious example would actually be the president saying that Amazon takes advantage of the post office, right? We've definitely heard about that, but so far
it's sad that Trump's the only one saying that.
You know, that there is a lot of talk. I think it was 2016, a member of the House of Representatives introduced a bill that would force companies like Walmart and Amazon to pay the government back for federal subsidies that its employees receive, so food stamps, housing, Medicaid, that never really got off the ground. So we've seen a lot of sort of grassroots efforts at passing legislation that would help mitigate some of the worst effects of this staggering level of inequality, but recently, I don't think that there's been much meaningful, much traction on a lot of these bills. And a lot of that probably has a lot to do with the current makeup of Congress.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us, Claire, and for sharing your thoughts on these Amazon stories. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Claire Brown is a staff writer for the New Food Economy, focusing on food policy and the environment. Her reporting has won awards from the Newswoman's Club of New York and the New York Press Club. We had had her on in this past April to talk about how Amazon workers were relying on food stamps. And we've just been discussing the strike in Europe, a three-day strike meant to coincide with Amazon Prime Day in Spain, Germany, and Poland. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.